This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Howdy, this is Jim Brackmeyer of baseball broadcast fame, and the Michael K. Show starts now on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Michael, from one legend to another, how's about we crack open a couple of pops and call a game together sometime?
Sounds good to me. Maybe we'll have you on the K-Rodcast. And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday, starting to get a little warmer. It's January 13th, 2021. No, am I wrong?
It is.
It's 40 today.
I know, but it's going to be 11 tomorrow night, and it's going to be like high of 20 on Saturday, and then we're getting a storm Sunday night. So this
I'm talking about today.
Out there. Take your shirt off, run out there, embrace it, because it's the last we'll see for a while.
You think so?
Yeah. Oh, I know so.
Interesting.
Yeah, he knows these things.
Kay, LaGreca, Rosenberg, we're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that's your responsibility. We've got a lot of stuff to cover. Now, you might, if you're watching us on TV, I am decked out in a beautiful Fordham sweatshirt.
On
the only reason being, another win for Fordham. First time in 27 years that they are 2-0 in the Atlantic 10.
Wow.
First time ever.
Wow. This is something.
Yeah, Kyle Neptune turning it around in a hurry. That's why I'm sporting this Fordham sweatshirt. And if Peter could wear a Gucci sweatshirt, I can wear a Fordham sweatshirt. Didn't go to Gucci. I went to Fordham.
That's a great point. I'm turning on the show right now so I can see. You described it as a beautiful sweatshirt. No, that is called the – they have a few different sweatshirts at the bookstore.
Right.
That's like the cheaper one.
No,
that's
no, this is very expensive. This is $65.
Is it Champion?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let me see the C.
You got to have Champions.
Where's the C? There's a C. I see it.
Why are you dressed up like you're starring in the remake of Reservoir Dogs?
You gave me a hard time yesterday, and I saw a friend
today. All of a
sudden,
that bothers you.
Well, I saw a friend today who told me how bad my tie knots have been recently, and I agreed with him, so I was practicing Windsor knots earlier. I still haven't gotten it right. I'm going to do it again during the break.
Wow.
I don't even like this tie, but it was just a practice one. And
I think it looks terrific. You don't need a Windsor knot. Just tie a regular knot.
My regular knot is too small. It never looks good.
I'm going to need a drop on that, Anthony. Thank you so much.
Really?
Don, how you doing, bud?
Good.
Don sent – I'm going to lift the personal curtain up a bit. Don sent us a performance by the Twins that was just, in a word, startling. Marco is strumming on the guitar. Jalen is belting out. It sounded like Don. It really did. It was beautiful.
She was making up her own words. That was about three or four songs in, too. They had a whole concert for me down to the basement. And
right.
I don't know if maybe if I send it over to Yes, they could air it if they want. But it was something. And I just like, I have a bass guitar, Peter. You've seen the video, right?
I commented. Yeah, of course.
And but it's way too big from the hold, so it's like a stand-up bass.
Right.
She
vocally, though, is very similar to you.
That was right. That was the comment that you made last night. Very nice. But
yeah. Similar vocal stylings and very heavy metalish. So
yeah, she was very metal.
You should be quite proud, Don.
It was like unearthing, like Courtney Love childhood performances.
You've raised them in your image, my friend.
We've heard of like freestyle raps before, but I don't think we've ever heard of freestyle metal. Like she was just vibing off of some kind of riding some wave last night. But it was nice. This is moments before they're supposed to go to bed, mind you. So
do we have that,
difficult.
Anthony? Could you play just a snippet of that so people can get in the mood? Yeah.
I will get that for you, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Well, what did you say that I had in
this?
My regular knot is too small.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's not a drop.
Well, you know what? It's such a rich field, it might not be.
My regular knot is too small.
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't deserve the song, Ant.
It won't
Peter
make
didn't
it.
Go to Gucci. I went to Fordham. All right, let's talk some basketball, and not about Fordham. I'm very proud of Fordham and the job that Kyle Neptune is doing there, and Eddie Cull, the AD. They're doing a great job piecing it together. It's been a very arid stretch of basketball success for the school, but maybe they're turning the corner. That's the way to root. But first we start with the Nets. The Knicks made a trade, which we're really going to get into deeply, but I just want to talk about the Nets, with the three stars on the court, they were 0-8 against the best teams in basketball before last night. They went into Chicago, and they completely embarrassed the Bulls. There's no other way to put it. And they look magnificent. They are a great team, an all-time great team when they're clicking. Those three are just amazing. And it's going to get more frustrating, the fact that you're not going to get Kyrie playing at home, so they can never get really a groove going. But Kyrie was really the weakest of the three, and he did what he had to do. James Harden was great. Kevin Durant was great. And this is against the first-place Chicago Bulls, who had won 10 of 11. So there's nothing cheap about that win. That was a phenomenal, phenomenal win. That's a great team. It really is. And all the nonsense that's happening with the vaccination with Kyrie, and we find out it's the NBA that will not allow the Nets to pay the fine because they say they must conform to local mandates, and they don't want them to play Kyrie and pay the fine. So that's why he's not going to be playing at home. Although if you listen to the players talk yesterday, they certainly feel as if it's going to happen at some point. And it's not a point of them, you know, getting the fines. They just think that somehow, some way, maybe they know something that we don't know, that it's going to be cleared. And Kyrie, yeah. James Harden kind of joked and said, I'm going to give him the shot myself. But they beat up on the Bulls yesterday, 138-112. If you're a Net fan, that's a great flex win. Really is.
Yeah, I think people are starting to believe that something may break here, you know, in February when it comes to maybe mandates changing and all that. So maybe that's what they're talking about. Rather than him get vaccinated, that maybe they feel that this might actually get lifted.
Well, here's
before
Woj.
Regular season's over.
Woj said that Kyrie has a path to playing in the games. Here's our great information man, Adrian Wojnarowski.
There, you know, is a scenario where the Nets could decide that they're willing to pay a fine every game to have Kyrie Irving play. Now, they're not willing to do that now. They have an owner in Josiah who's been very, very emphatic in the need for people to get vaccinated. And I don't think the Nets right now are going to go against that and publicly pay fines for a player who's unvaccinated to play. But certainly with the league, CDC, relaxations of COVID rules, the world could look different for the Nets by the end of the season. Remember, they changed their stance once on Kyrie Irving. We don't want him as a part-time player. They decided we do want him as a part-time player. That could potentially change again before the postseason.
So Woj is letting it out there that the Nets just might defy the NBA and pay the fine.
I don't think that would be a smart thing to do.
Why not?
Well, why would you want to fight with the NBA? Because then the NBA can come down with their own sanction and maybe suspend them.
Yeah, but they can't just make that rule up, Don. They have that rule's not in place. They can't just make it up and say, oh, by the way, you're going to be suspended now if you play and you pay the fine.
I just don't, because the backlash would be amazing, right? Because then, like, look at all those players that went and got vaccinated so that they could play. I mean, how would they feel?
No, you're right.
When they go to the Players Association and say, what's going on here? This is preferential treatment, you know, that you gave them the out. Why didn't you give us the out? I didn't want to get vaccinated. I got vaccinated because I wanted to play. I couldn't afford to sit out. I couldn't afford to lose that money. I mean, it really would – I think it would really cause a you-know-what storm that I just don't know if the Nets want to have to deal with it. I think the NBA can make it very difficult for them, and I think it would really put them in a really bad place. Now, maybe they would do it anyway. Maybe they don't care, but
I don't think they will either. It just that doesn't seem to be what's going to happen here. They'll need to get help from another source, like, you know, the big
man. CDC.
Well, yeah, sure.
But because you look at sports, right? Like in the NHL, because Canada's not allowing anybody in their buildings. The NHL is like shifting these games so the Canadian teams don't lose revenue. But shifting them to where? Like, so I don't know if they have like information that they feel like that mandate of allowing people in will happen when this variant spike ends. And maybe when we get to February, things can kind of somewhat get back to normal. Again, I'm just guessing and maybe hoping at the same time. But maybe there's this feeling that once this variant's out of here, that by the time we get to February or March, that maybe there's a chance that these mandates can get lifted.
That's the way they're rooting, I guess, but it doesn't seem like there's an end in sight to that. So we'll have to see. I mean, the whole thing is fluid. The CDC seems like it changes its mind every couple of days. So will New York City change its mind? Will New York State change its mind? It's not a New York City thing. It's a New York State thing.
I remember that mandate was in place before Omicron.
Right.
So even if this spike does flatten out, and even if we get through this variant, if the virus is still there, if the pandemic's still going on, they may still not lift it.
So that's the net situation. And we covered this, the fines yesterday, quite a bit. Let's move on to the Knicks, who also had a nice victory last night. One of their more complete games of the year. R.J. Barrett, for the second straight game, scores over 30 points. And once again, everybody's on the R.J. Barrett bandwagon. And I believe that R.J. Barrett can be a good player, maybe even an outstanding player. But the one thing that he doesn't have is he doesn't have consistency, because there are some games that he disappears as well. Once he shows me the consistency, then I'm going to embrace the madness, because he could be the great player they need to build around. He's just 21 years old. We mentioned that last week. It's something that should be accentuated. It's something that should be noted over and over and over again. He should be a senior at Duke. He should be a senior at Duke. He's in his third NBA season. He was aggressive to the hoop. He had a resounding dunk. He's athletic. He has a mid-range game. He has a three-point game of late, which has been great, and he has an inside game as well. The only thing that worries me is sometimes he just shows up and doesn't show up, if that makes sense. But the talent is there. It all becomes a matter of, can he be consistent? Can he be the same player every single time? Time will tell, but, Peter, you watch him. The talent is there. He's just got to exercise it every single game.
Well, that's the thing I said a couple weeks ago, and I know it sounds so basic, it's almost embarrassing to say it, but it really is true. This team is so vastly different when he's 30-point R.J. Barrett. It feels like there's very often, you mentioned the word consistency, it's all or nothing. It's either 32 points and they win, or 5 points and they lose.
Yep.
And if all of a sudden, and now we can talk about the move they made today, if they're able to get any consistency from him and add a little bit, yeah, it's a much different team. Much different.
Well, let's talk about the trade. It's one of those trades that I'm trying to evaluate, right? And I don't get how the Knicks did it. It's that good. I don't understand the downside. Am I missing something? Obviously, giving up Kevin Knox is not a big deal. Then you gave up a first-round draft pick, which is protected, top 18 this draft, top 16 and 23, top 14 and 24 and 25. And then if they don't get the draft pick after that, it becomes 2 second-rounders in 26 and 27. I don't think that would happen, but it's a great trade. And what the Knicks have done under Leon Rose, and they did it last year with Derrick Rose, is that they set the market. They don't wait for the market to develop. And I think that's good, because Cam Reddish, to me, this is a former 10th pick in the draft a couple of years ago, in the R.J. Barrett draft. The 10th pick in the draft. He is 6'8", 217 pounds. He has increased his three-point shooting this year by 11%. He's now at 38% from 3 points. He's not playing that much this year, 23.4 career minutes per game, but 11.9 points per game, 2.5 rebounds, and he's just 22 years old. So somebody out there, we're going to talk to Alan Hahn at 3:30, tell me the downside of this deal. I can't find it. I can't find it. The Hawks have underachieved this year. Their GM is quoted as saying maybe we shouldn't have brought back the entire team that did so well. They're out of the playoff picture right now, but this guy is a decent player and has the ability to be a really good player. So maybe Peter and Don can help me out. I don't see the downside. From the outside looking in, I think it's an absolute theft. It's a haul for the Knicks. For what? They didn't give up anything of import. And remember, the Knicks have all these draft picks. They can't use every single one of them. They have a roster that's laden with young players. You can't keep making these picks. So this way, you get rid of one guy that you aren't going to re-sign anyway. Kevin Knox was not going to re-sign here. You replace him with Cam Reddish. You could have him play next year on the qualifying offer, which is not that much money, and maybe tap into the potential that the Hawks saw when they made him the 10th pick in the draft. And there were rumors that the Knicks were thinking about trading down in that draft to get Cam Reddish. That's how much they like the guy. It's a deal I like. I think it has high upside, and they gave nothing up from this team. Nothing. Now, how they're going to give him minutes at the 2 and the 3, not quite sure. Is he going to take minutes from Obi Toppin? I'm not sure. Is he going to take minutes from a 2 guard? I'm not certain. That's for Tom Thibodeau to figure out. But I like the deal. I think it's a great deal.
I agree with you. I mean, come on. How long have we been waiting for this Kevin Knox experiment to end? So the fact that you're able to get something that has potential upside here, I mean, Reddish plays. He only plays 23 minutes a night and gives you 12 points. And has history with R.J. Barrett, was a dynamic player at Duke. I mean, I haven't watched him a ton as a pro. I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. But I you certainly know that physically, he has incredible physical capabilities. And, Michael, the one thing I was going to say was I don't remember him being a great shooter, but the fact that he's up to 38% from three,
yep.
I'm with you on paper. I mean, listen, we've gotten our hopes up before in this last year of the Knicks getting these, quote, steals. We saw it with Kemba Walker as well. But this certainly on paper looks good.
Yeah, and it looks good for Atlanta too, right? Like you said, if he wasn't playing a ton of minutes, it sometimes deals work very well for both teams. You know, we look at it as fans and media, who got over, who won the deal. Sometimes it works out for both. You know, they get a first round pick out of this. It's not going to be a lottery pick, but it could be a first round pick, because I do think when it's said and done, the Knicks are going to get into the playoffs. And a player that maybe they didn't feel like they could use, they were able to get something for him. And maybe they get something out of Kevin Knox the Knicks couldn't. So we'll see.
That'd be surprising. I mean, the deal from afar looks better for the Knicks than the Hawks. I think the Hawks just had to get rid of a player that they weren't going to re-sign.
Because right.
they signed Herter to a big contract. They signed Trae Young to a big contract. They got another player that they have to also sign to a big contract. They can't sign everybody. So rather than keep the guy, and they're probably not going to keep Kevin Knox, they got rid of him and they got a first-round draft pick. Maybe they could turn that into something or make another deal. They might turn that team around because they've underachieved so much.
They certainly have. But maybe I'm sure that's what they were looking to do. So I think it's good for both teams and potentially could be very good for the Knicks. From what I understand, he was doing better, you know, hitting threes. He'll probably get more minutes here with the Knicks than he did in Atlanta. So we'll see how it works out and how he becomes a good player. But the Knicks have won 7 of their last 10. They're starting to get into a groove here at home. And now they get some help.
They won 5 in a row at home.
You know, so this is what we've been waiting for, right? So, and let's see if they can just continue it and now at least establish themselves as a play-in and then maybe see if they can't get into the top 6. And if Reddish can play better, certainly Knox was giving them nothing. So if he could play well, that would be just a huge upside. And now you move. Now you get going.
Now, there's another very quick aside. There's another NFL team that's going to need a coach. The Texans firing coach David Culley, according to Ian Rappaport and Mike Garafolo. 1 year. Cardinals did it, and now the Texans have done it. I don't know what they expected David Culley to do with the quarterback situation the way it was. They gave the guy 1 year. I thought that the Texans played hard all the time.
Well, they beat the Chargers down the stretch. We could talk all we want about the Chargers messing up against Vegas. That loss to Houston's what killed them. And they were competitive. They almost beat the Titans on Sunday. But they know better than we do. But when you fire a coach after 1 year, Michael,
and it's
not obvious to the outside, something else must be going on.
Now, getting back to the Reddish deal, here's Woj on Bart and Han. Why did the Hawks want to trade Cam Reddish?
Really, since training camp, and even back last year, Atlanta has been willing to move on from Cam Reddish. They can't pay him an extension. They have DeAndre Hunter coming up behind him, you know, and that's certainly, he's coming off an injury now, but that's a player they value more. His certainly a little more of a two-way player, and you've seen Atlanta. They've drafted well. They've extended Kevin Herter on his rookie extension this year, and John Collins, and, you know, a number of guys. You know, they're a team that's going to be facing some significant salary cap and luxury tax issues moving forward here, and so you just can't pay everybody.
You can't pay everybody, and he said, what do the Knicks see in Reddish?
You know, certainly offensively, you've seen him really grow this year. You know, he's had a couple 30-point games. He's shooting threes at a much better clip. You know, defensively, to play for Tom Thibodeau, I think there's going to have to be improvement. And I think, you know, that'll be a part of his game that I'm sure they'll drill down on with him. You know, how big of a role he has immediately. Listen, I think Leon Rose and the front office, you know, they give Tom Thibodeau, you know, the ability to make decisions on minutes and who plays and why they play. And so that's all going to be for him to decide. But they traded for Cam Reddish because, you know, they see the upside.
And finally, Woj explained that the Knicks were not the only team that was interested in Reddish.
This was one of the best players in the country coming out of high school and obviously went to Duke and played with R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson there. He's up for his rookie extension this summer, and so they can make a decision on that. If they want to, negotiate, certainly I'm sure they'll negotiate an extension. We'll see if they can get to a number, or he could be a restricted free agent the following year. But there were a lot of teams interested in Cam Reddish, and teams like the Pacers were in pretty serious talks with them this week. The Lakers were still, I was told as of this morning, trying to see if they could swing a deal for Cam Reddish and a number of others. But the Knicks were able to pull it off. Again, 22 years old, really skilled athletically at 6'8", long, gives them, just another piece for their young nucleus.
Now, one thing that I would warn everybody, don't get that attached at this point, because they could spin around and trade him, because there are other teams that are interested. I think the Knicks have to do some heavy lifting in order to put a team together that's going to win a first-round series, because it looks like they will finish in the bottom, either the play-in, and if they somehow get to the sixth spot, they're going to be playing top teams. So if they want to actually have a first-round victory, they're going to have to get better. Now, this gives them another asset. This is a much more valuable asset than Kevin Knox. And I think it's a more valuable asset than the first-round draft pick they gave up. I think there are teams that are interested in Cam Reddish. So I think the Knicks are playing the long game here. They also got Solomon Hill, which I think they had to do to make the numbers work. And that's going to cost them Archie Diacomo. They're going to have to release him short of the 10-day contract length to make room for Solomon Hill. But, again, that's bookkeeping. I don't think the Knicks are done, but this was the first strike, and we'll see exactly what goes on from here. So an interesting day in the NBA. The Nets played a great game. The Knicks just wiped the floor with Dallas. Wiped the floor with Dallas.
How do you like that?
I mean, it wasn't even competitive.
In moments, they look like a basketball team. And quietly, over the last couple weeks, they've been pretty good.
Five games in a row at home, which was, their bête noire. How about that?
And how was the old reception for Mr. Randall?
There was kind of, I think he was not that active in the game. He did play well.
He had 17. Think,
yeah, there was like a kind of a apathetic buzz at the beginning, and then they cheered him when he started to hit shots. But it was all about R.J. Barrett. He seems like he's the favorite this year. And I think that's what set off Julius Randle previously. When he was at the line in a game 2 games ago, the game that he did the thumbs down, they were chanting R.J. Barrett. Last year they were chanting MVP. So fickle. Fans are fickle, and players
hear it. But why would they chant R.J. Barrett while Julius at the line? That is obnoxious.
I plan after the show, Peter, to hunt down all 18,000 people who are at the Garden, and I'm going to ask them.
Wow. Appreciate that.
Yep, you got it.
You're professional.
Yep, that's what I am. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to talk to the great Alan Hahn. Of course, you know him from Barton.
He's a great guy.
He is a terrific guy, and he'll explain the Reddish deal because, again, we can't find the bad in it. Maybe we just don't know, but we can't find the bad in it. So maybe Alan Hahn can educate us. Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you right here on Yes on 98.7 ESPN. It's January 13th, 2021.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
My love. Ooh, my love.
Well, it's game time. It's Telly time. And Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey is best enjoyed with great friends during big games. So for the Knicks' January 20th matchup against the Pelicans, 98.7 ESPN is giving away a grand prize VIP reservation for 6 with food and beverage at Slancha at 304 Bowery in Manhattan. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN, and you'll be one of 10 qualifiers to win a $50 Fanatics gift card and be in the running to score a night out on us. We'll be qualifying listeners through tomorrow before selecting our grand prize winner. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Listen, I never see things. I shouldn't say never. I rarely see things through the prism of color.
Okay.
I don't think everything is color. Many people think a lot of decisions in the world are based on color, and you know what? They could be right. But I try not to always operate through that prism. But I will tell you this. This is an awful look for the NFL. I can't even accentuate how awful it is. You rarely get an African-American head coach. Rarely. Now, in the last 3 or 4 years, you've had 2 of them that were fired after 1 year. That's an awful optic. What are you doing? And you can't say they're giving a good chance. You know, that's not a fair chance to give a guy 1 year, white, black, purple, whatever. That's an awful, awful thing to do to somebody, especially in football. And the NFL, which is talking about the Rooney Rule and all that and trying equity and really? And you fire two black coaches after 1 year. How does that look? Really, how does that look? How do they defend that? You see white coaches getting fired after 1 year? Tell me the white coach that was fired after 1 year.
Michael, it's why it's so frustrating and uncomfortable because, you know, I understand there were extenuating circumstances around Flores and the relationship with Tua. I do. But, like, this is a league that has a race problem, okay? They have a black ownership problem. There's no one. There's barely any people of color who even own a team. The amount of coaches, when you compare it to the ratio of players that are African-American, it's ridiculous. And then this year, when you're pretending that they could be turning over some leaf and trying to go the right direction, they get rid of two head coaches, both of which, who in my opinion, overachieved. And listen, Houston was a bad football team. There's no doubt about it. But Don, we knew what they were saddled with before this season even started. They lost their star player, and their star receiver. So no QB,
right?
No stud receiver, not talented otherwise. And while they were a bad team, they were also competitive and won some games. It just seems like a bizarre firing.
And I'm not even talking about the Flores thing because he got 3 years. I mean, the Giants have fired three coaches in a row for 2 years. So whether it's warranted or not, I got 3 years. Wilf with the Cardinals got 1 year. Cully with the Texans got 1 year. That's an awful look. It's just terrible. Well, it doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen. It's also incompetency by the front office.
Well, it's also just an awful look that we're talking about so few to begin with, to Peter's point. And that's the issue, is that when you look around the league and you see so many excellent African-American defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators, how predominantly black the league is, that why are so few getting the opportunity to be head coaches to begin with? So, yeah, there's that level of why do you lose patience so quickly? But there's so few to begin with. I guess Tomasulo was white that was let go in 1 year, but there were extenuating circumstances to that. And there'd be extenuating circumstances to what happened in Houston. We don't know. But on the surface, I saw a bad team with no quarterback play hard. And maybe I know that because I bet them a lot or bet against them a lot and lost, because there were plenty of times they were double-digit dogs and flat-out won the game.
Wait, so, are we now down to just Mike Tomlin?
Well, I think Flores, I mean, there's a chance Flores could get the Texans job because he's close with Caserio from the Patriots. Good. I mean, maybe he could get another job.
But at this moment, with Flores and Cully out, is there anyone else besides Tomlin? I think Tomlin might be the only one.
Yeah, I think that's it.
In a league where when you watch the games, like, just think about that optically, what it looks like to the eye when you turn on a sport, almost every player, it feels like, you know, the league is predominantly black. Okay, there's no doubt about that.
It is statistically. It is
statistically, and it's when you it's very clear. And then when you look at the top of the team, the leader of these men literally almost never reflects the makeup of the players.
And I've always been a big proponent of this. You own a team, you should be able to hire who you want. Everybody should get a fair shot. You shouldn't eliminate somebody because of the color of their skin. So I'm not telling people you have to go out and hire a black guy if you think the white guy is better. That's not how I'm thinking. But I am thinking that if you give a guy a job and you give him 1 year, and, gee, all of a sudden you look at it, the last two guys that have gotten fired after 1 year, they were both African-American coaches. Shame on the NFL. And you can't tell me that David Cully did a bad job. He didn't have his quarterback. The thing was a mess. They're tearing that down. They had a quarterback in abeyance all year. He was in this nebulous state. Was he going to be traded? Was he ever going to come back? What, is he active? Is he not active? Come on. He actually made Mills a pretty decent quarterback. Shame on the NFL. It looks awful.
Yeah, but it's so baffling to me. Like, what would be the argument? when we see Mike Tomlin among the best coaches in the NFL. You know, the job that Dennis Green did in his tenure, whether it was with Arizona and especially Minnesota when they were routinely going to the playoffs and going to the championship game. I mean, come on. It's just ridiculous. Why are the opportunities not there?
And then when you get an opportunity, you get a year? You get a year. That's where Goodell has to step in and go, "Oh, this doesn't pass the smell test."
We've had the argument before, conversation. What do you do about it? If you're the NFL, what do you do? Because you don't want to be heavy-handed and force it either. You do the Rooney Rule. I think the spirit of it was good, but clearly it doesn't work.
I don't think you can force anything, Don, and I would never advocate for that. But I would think that when you hire a black coach, any coach, you should not be firing him after 1 year, because then the GM should go too, because he made the mistake. The Cardinal GM, he survived and hired Kingsbury, and it turned out that, you know what? It's worked out for them. Caserio has survived. He's still going to be the Texans GM. Why is a GM allowed to hire a coach that is only good for 1 year and then you bang him? That's awful. In a league that has an issue in that area. So, yeah, I'm not a proponent of forcing somebody to hire a coach of color. I'm a proponent of let's all be human beings here. If everybody is equal, everybody should get an equal shot at the job. They shouldn't be looked differently because of the color of the skin. But once a man gets a job, you can't fire him after 1 year. In football, how do you institute anything in 1 year in football? I don't even like the Giants doing it 3 times in a row in 2 years.
I think that's
a sign of ineptitude.
There has to be something else going on. Because, again, from the outside looking in, I can't see a football reason why you would do it. Now, if we found out some other information, he wasn't getting along with the GM, he wasn't getting along with player, I don't know. I guess you're never going to find out the real reason.
Now, could it be – now, this is still messed up from the standpoint of not getting an opportunity, but could it be as simple as they just want Brian Flores?
Could be, but they might not get him. The Texans were 4-12 last year. The previous year, 2020, with Deshaun Watson leading the NFL in passing. David Culley, without Deshaun Watson, they were 4-13 without Watson taking a single snap.
Right.
I don't think it's a football thing. So Tomlin is the only African American coach. There are two minority coaches, Robert Saleh and Ron Rivera. All right, we'll take some phone calls, 1-800-919-3776, some baseball news as well. Not great news. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael K. Show.
The Knicks made a trade. I don't get how the Knicks did it. It's that good. Alan Hahn, what are you missing? I can't find the negative in this.
The only negative I can find is that it wasn't Zion Williamson as the new teammate that they traded for. It's hard to find a fault with it because it's a good young wing player who's proven he can be a scorer, who's looking for more opportunity, and didn't have a place with the team he was with. And what you do is you get another young first-round pick talent that you think, put him in our place, give him an opportunity, and see if he can help them, because they do need wing help, and they've got it. So we'll see what happens with him, but I'll tell you this part, I don't think they're done.
The Michael K. Show.
Peter didn't go to Gucci. I went to Fordham.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Yes. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Let me give you the game time brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. So we've got, we've got Oklahoma City, Brooklyn. That's an 8:30 start. We've got the Jersey Devils against the New York Islanders on ESPN Plus at 7:30. Is that the Islanders' first game in like 2.5 weeks, though?
It's their first game since January 2nd, 11 days.
Wow. Rangers, San Jose on ESPN Plus, and of course you could hear it right here. Our coverage starts at 10, puck drops at 10:30.
How about this? On the mothership, ESPN TV.
Oh, it's not Plus.
Flyers, Bruins.
On TV.
Okay. How about that?
Now, didn't you hit your ice pick yesterday?
No.
You didn't?
It was a triple parlay, if that's even a thing.
It is.
It's three legs.
Three-team parlay. There you
go. Three-team parlay, and I hit the first two, and I lost the late one. Leafs had 45 shots on goal and lost 2-1 to Arizona. So
I'm really sorry.
Did you say three? You said three legs?
That's right.
Also might be Josh Allen's nickname on Sunday. Sorry.
That really brings new meaning to the I formation. That's Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. A doctor friend of mine sent me that this explanation that Viagra, which is what Bart Scott said Josh Allen should take.
Is his first name Steven?
No, this one's not a Steve. Because it's going to be bitterly cold when they play the Patriots this weekend. He said that Viagra dilates blood vessels, releasing inner warmth like a hot flash. True originally developed as a treatment for angina, which the study concluded was not good for angina. The funny part is that when the study was terminated, the participants wouldn't give the drug back. No one knew why. Well, now we do.
Mm.
And, you know, it's fine. Do you see Josh Allen responded to Bart, too?
What did he say?
He said, as I was just telling Kodak Black, the same thing the other day.
Oh.
Wow. Sorry. You know what? I just wanted to bring the stories together.
You really do. You do some job with that.
Thank you. I'm a storyteller.
You are a storyteller. So we were – no one should be surprised. The owners presented another – economic proposal, or really the first one since the lockout on December 2nd, to the players. Anybody who thought that something was going to get done today is a pie-in-the-sky optimist. Nothing happened. The players didn't like the proposal, and that's it. Now we see what happens next. And I'm not advocating for either side. Here's what I'm advocating for. Get a deal done. There's got to be a deal there. It should be kind of easy to split $11 billion. But it looks like it's problematic. So I'm going to tell you something. We have not talked labor at all. I told you that when this happened, this is not something that we would be doing every single day because it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I love now. You're going to start hearing people like leak what the proposal was as they operate as if it's a vote rather than a negotiation where they want to win over the public. Public doesn't mean anything here. Just coming to an agreement. I think we are going to miss time. I hate to say it. I think we're definitely missing spring training games. Now, it'll get to a point where if spring training gets squeezed to like 3 weeks, you could still get the opening at the end of March. You can still do it. But if it gets past that, then I think you're going to miss games. Now, you could think of it this way if you're an owner. We still have COVID to deal with. Maybe we just shorten the season this year and we get what we want and we don't have to pay full salaries. Again, this is just me guessing, but I don't think anything gets done until something becomes potentially financially crippling for either side. Money is the only thing that moves this needle, and they're not near losing money yet. They're not. Neither side, the players don't get paid during the winter. The owners, well, they sell tickets, which I'm sure they're still doing, but they don't lose money until their game's canceled, until there are no games on TV, and the regional sports networks start asking for money back. That's when it becomes crunch time. We're not at crunch time. So anybody who thought that anything was going to be done, this proposal, they're crazy. I think this is going to get ugly. I think this is going to push the envelope. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be something where I see the pitchers and catchers reporting on February 15th. I can't see it.
When you see negotiations like this where the gap is that wide, Michael, if you get anything done, it's usually in the 11th hour. They're not all of a sudden going to have a deal done a month before spring training starts. They're going to use up every bit of time they can and then some. So what I'd like to know, maybe somebody could do the work on this, because we always talk about, do you side with the owners? Do you side with the players? Why do fans side with billionaires instead of millionaires and all that? What's best for us, the fan? Who needs to win this, Michael, if we want what's best for us, the fan? Because that's what we should care about, because nobody seems to care about us but us. So when we talk about who to root for, what side needs to win that'll be best for me?
I don't think it matters.
Yeah, that's a shame, right?
Because both of them are fighting over money. Now, if the players are legitimately fighting over competitive balance where they don't want teams to tank and they get that, then that benefits the fans. That you can't have an Oriole team that has tried to lose for the last 4 years and has lost 100-plus games for 4 years in a row other than the 2020 season. That's disgraceful. If the players could get that done and if they can get tanking out and restructure the draft thing, well, if you said, well, the players got that, then that would be a win for the fans.
Yeah, because I'm with you. I think the only thing that could help is things that better the game. Like, I think the DH betters the game, in my opinion. Having both leagues with the DH, if that came out with it, that would be good for me. If we saw teams be more competitive or we didn't see just the big market teams. Now, listen, I benefit now. I've got a big market team again. But I'm sure there's a lot of other fans out there that root for teams that don't have that financial windfall that want to see something come out of this where they have a chance to be more competitive. Seeing something like that happen. Now, is it worth missing a portion of the season for it? I don't know. But if you're going to have this happen, Michael, I hope when we get to the brighter side of the tunnel here that the fans get to see the things that they want to see, a better game. Because there's a lot of things that need to be improved, and hopefully this will be the chance to usher some of that in.
Now, speaking of just pure baseball, did you see this, Peter?
Hmm.
The Baltimore Orioles. Now, Camden Yards has long been a bandbox.
A what?
A bandbox. It's easy to hit home runs, especially the left
field. Got it, yes.
Did you see this too, Don?
I did not.
They are raising the left field fence 5 feet, and they're moving it back 30 feet.
Oof.
That's not a tweak, baby.
How do you – wow, you can do that. I mean, did anyone talk to Gleyber Torres?
He's going to be upset. But and when you look at the Orioles, you know, with all their tanking, what they're doing is they're collecting a lot of left-handed pitching, which would help the left-handed pitching because they'll face right-handed hitters in that ballpark. So you're moving the fence back 30 feet. And a lot of their good young players offensively are left-handed hitters. And the high wall in right field is still eminently reachable. So you tailor a ballpark to your whims and needs. And, I mean, Camden Yards has always been very, very small. The Yankees love playing there. Gleyber Torres, those 2 years, had, like, seasons there. So 30 feet they're moving. That's incredible. Now they're going to be losing a lot of seats, but the way the Orioles draw, what's the difference?
That's a really, really, really salient point.
Thank you. They don't give these jobs to chimps, you know?
No, they don't. Nope.
They never have. I saw Forbes rank the ballparks, Michael.
Yeah? Who's number one?
Oracle Park in San Francisco.
It is a great ballpark.
And I'm just looking for the locals here.
Not going to be high.
What do you think the worst stadium is? This factors Oakland. In everything. Ticket prices, Oakland. Aesthetics, everything.
Oakland.
Oakland's 29th.
There's something worse than Oakland.
There is one. You go to it a lot.
I'm not a big fan of Detroit's ballpark. Tampa Bay?
Tampa Bay is dead last.
See, I don't think it's that bad. I mean, it's not the most aesthetically beautiful ballpark. It's not that bad. It's great to work there. There's great sight lines for fans. Well, I mean, the catwalks are ridiculous, but I don't know.
Where are the locals?
Let's see. Locals. By the way, the bottom five, Tropicana was 30th, Oakland 29th. Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago, 28. Chase Field in Arizona, 27.
So it's not just a great name with Guaranteed Rate Field.
Yeah, it's a bad experience altogether. Let's see.
It's a great name.
Citizens Bank in Philadelphia is 19. I like that.
See, I don't get that. That's a good ballpark. Andrew, are you insulted?
Yeah, I don't mind it.
Yeah, I wonder what the logic is.
I'll give you the criteria in just a second. Citi Field is 13th. Yankee Stadium, 12th.
Well, that runs counter to what you probably think, right, Don?
Yeah. I would have Citi Field ahead of it, but I'm not surprised that they're kind of even. So AT&T Park, well, it's Oracle now. Orioles Park, Camden Yards, number 2. Busch Stadium, 3. Dodger Stadium, 4. PNC Park, which is fabulous, in Pittsburgh, is 5.
Camden Yards is still 2?
Camden Yards holds up, Peter. It's so
good.
Wow. What was number 1? I missed it. I'm sorry.
Was San Francisco.
Yeah. And Dodger Stadium is where?
Oh, I just
It's in Los Angeles.
And I will tell you this. You could make a case. I'm sorry, you can. that PNC ballpark might be better than Oracle. It's gorgeous. I mean, it's absolute perfection with the view and the bridge in the back. It's gorgeous.
Whenever they rate, the problem is whenever they rate stadiums, they always factor in ticket prices. That's why New York stadiums never make it that high, because ticket prices are so much. But like PNC, I remember doing a Ranger game. I had a Saturday night game in Pittsburgh, and the right from the hotel, I think, I forget the name of the hotel, Michael probably knows, right outside, I could see the inside of the stadium, and it was a day game. I'm like, I'm going to go there. And it was like $30. I sat behind home plate, and it's a fabulous stadium. Now, they were terrible at the time. This was a couple of years ago. But what a great ballpark. Fabulous ballpark.
Oh, it's unbelievable. Now, since we're talking a little, we'll get your phone calls. A lot of people want to get to us. I had this little trivia question drawn up yesterday, and I'm going to give it to Don and Peter. So the Minnesota Twins yesterday announced that they will retire Jim Cott's uniform number, which is number 36. So taking Jackie Robinson out of the equation, because he's retired in every single ballpark, they have eight other numbers retired. If you can give me five of the Twins' numbers that are retired, of the eight, I will Venmo you immediately $100 into your account.
All right, well, so five of the eight. Right. Well, Rod Carew's got to have his number retired.
There you go. I'm not even going to make you give me the numbers, okay? Although no. I should. All right, it's 29.
Well, I'm like you with baseball numbers, Michael. It's not the same as other sports because you can identify the players without having to look at their number. Oliva.
Yeah.
So that's two.
I really thought Peter would be much more involved in this.
You did?
Did they?
Yeah, I really did. Benny Agbayani.
Nope.
Oh,
Hold on.
Why am I forgetting their big slugger from the 60s?
It's a shame that you're doing that.
Because he's definitely on there.
Dear God.
Al Kaline.
Oh, come on. He's the Tigers. You're out.
I know. I'm trying. But it's that type of.
You want me to give it to you?
No. Yeah, go ahead, because I still have other guesses.
Harmon Killebrew.
Right. That's who I was talking about.
That's the one that hurt you.
That's who I was trying to think of. But I lost out. But I'm still not going to give up. Did they retire Kent Herbeck's number?
Yes, they did.
There you go, Don.
So I've got three. So that would have been four. I'd be so close. You would have Venmo me money if I'm one away, because I just couldn't think of his name. All right, so what other classic Twin? Oh, it's going to bother me. Oh, wait a minute. Wait, you said, who do I say so far?
You said Carew, Oliva, Herbeck. You missed out on Killebrew, which loses you the money.
Which loses me.
Continue to play.
But I'm sure Kirby Puckett's number has been retired.
Yeah, number 34. Sure.
So I would have gotten it. If I could have just remembered Harmon Killebrew, I would have gotten it.
Or you could have gone on to other ones and just left
still,
out Killebrew.
They're right, because I still – because that's it. That's
four now.
That's yeah, and it would have been
Killebrew
five.
Killebrew would be five.
So there's still
you have
three
left.
More.
Yeah.
I'm impressed that you got to Puckett that late, though. That's just that's almost showing off.
Or that he didn't know it.
Come on.
Could they –
it's the only one that I would have known.
He wasn't there that – because he did win a championship with them, but he wasn't there. They would never retire.
Go for it.
Morris's number.
No.
Rabbi Morris?
No.
How about Gary Gaetti?
Please, move along. There's nothing for you to see here.
It wasn't that year. It's probably an old school guy.
There's two new school, one older school. I mean, they're not really an old franchise.
They probably retired Joe Mauer's number.
There you go, number you seven. Go. Yeah. Who else you got?
Well, I only had to give five.
Since
you can sniff my socks.
All right. I want to still go here. I need two more.
I'm starting to think it's been
that's
enough.
That's all you need.
But I think I got it, Peter. I think I got five.
Come on, dog.
You do, but there's two more left.
We'll just tell them.
No, this is fun. So there's one old school, one new school.
No. Yeah, one older school. Not like decrepit, because the Twins haven't been around a long time. We're not going back to the Washington Senators.
Oh, there's somebody that's
one
like
from Jersey. He's from Jersey.
Oh. No, he wasn't from Jersey.
Who?
But he went to St. John's, Frank Viola.
I went to Rampo. Look at me.
Not retired.
Didn't retire his number.
Or he's not retired. He's still playing, you're saying.
No, Frank Viola's not still playing.
Well, he's only probably only 60 years old.
It's not cheating.
Why am I missing the local guy, a Jersey guy?
Yep.
You know what, Don? While you're thinking, I got to tell you, Michael, I'm so disappointed in you.
Why, babe?
You were so focused on baseball. This shows how crazy focused and, like, nerdy you have to get about baseball. You really blew past my joke of when you said, "Where's Dodger Stadium?"
Oh, I heard it. I didn't think it was good.
You didn't think that was good?
No, no, it was pedestrian. You're better than that.
No, I'm not. There's nothing better than a simple joke like that.
Do you give up?
I love baseball.
Yeah,
the Jersey guy
didn't retire Torrey Hunter's number.
No, the Jersey guy is the great Tom Kelly.
Oh, yeah, well, okay. Well, he's a manager.
Number 10, and Bert Blyleven is the other number.
Ah, be home Blyleven. So how much are you Venmoing me again?
I'm not giving you anything because you got Killebrew. You broke it. You lost.
What do you mean?
You couldn't get Killebrew.
But you said if I could name 5 of the 8.
But I gave you Killebrew.
But I kept naming more.
But once I gave you one, the game was over.
Well, who made that rule up?
My rule.
Peter, he said if you can name 5 of the 8. All right, so he had to help me out with Killebrew, but then I named 5 more.
But that got you rolling. You
no, but I don't think
Killebrew.
that was not said.
Sorry,
you said if you could name
my game
the rule. No, no,
my
it's
football.
Not, no, no, no. I'm going
I'm
by
going
what
home.
Was said.
It's
Come on, ball. Help me out, guy. Not that I need his money. I don't even remember what the total was. I just want to be able to get a victory. He said name 5 of the 8. I gave you 5.
But I gave
given
you
6.
Yeah, but Michael,
think
not,
of Killebrew's name.
I don't think that's fair.
It's a joke.
Just because you gave him one.
What's fair, really?
That's a good point.
What was the total, by the way?
The total of what?
Well, you said you'd Venmo me how much?
$100.
$100. All right, you owe me $100.
Okay. John Heyman tweeting out, player side suggests they are very disappointed that there was no change in the luxury tax threshold. But MLB's position is that this offer was merely made to address the issue of younger player pay and to get the ball rolling. And they will negotiate on CBT and free agency later. Also, Don, I'm sorry, babe. You lose the money when you guessed Al Kaline. You're out.
No, but you didn't say I couldn't get one wrong.
But no.
No, because I was trying to think. I knew that wasn't it because, again, I always confuse those two for whatever reason. I have no idea
The guy's name was Mr. Tiger. He never
played
a game
outside
that,
of
Detroit.
No, but I understand that, but I said I confused the two for some reason.
You do not get any money.
They're both before my time. I told you that I couldn't think of the name. I always did I not say I always confused the two and I guessed the wrong one. But no, you said the question was, Peter, could I name 5 of the 8 retired numbers? I named 5.
But once you hit Al Kaline, the game was over. Over.
This is what he does, Don. He's a bad guy. You should take a lesson from this.
I'm Sully. Joey Highroller, Don, wants to know what the creepy doll in the box is on the set.
Well, what happened was during that concert last night with the kids, they must have bumped the camera. So you're seeing a part of the basement you're not supposed to see. My father loved Laurel and Hardy. It was his favorite comedy team. So my mom made ceramic dolls of them.
Your mom made them?
Yeah.
Like Mrs. Costanza?
Right, because my mom, you know, because it was back in the 70s, the big thing was going to somebody's house that had a kiln and you would do ceramics. It was like a big 70s get-together.
Is this part of the key party stuff?
No. But they'd get together. Peter, what would happen in the 70s? The guys get together, they watch sports, and down in the basement, some woman would have a kiln and they would paint.
I have never heard this.
You never heard of ceramics.
Creepy. I've heard of ceramics, but I don't think people had kiln in the house.
No, they would. No, yeah, it's one person.
I remember the girl, the lady in Animal House died in a kiln accident.
Yes.
That I remember.
Oh, the explosion.
No. Yeah. It's dark.
It's dark, but it was.
Do you remember her name?
Oh, give me a second, because I always think about it, too. It was.
Always think about it.
Yeah, because it's a great movie.
Oh. It is an unbelievable movie.
Oh. I'll get it in a second. So my mom she made ceramics and then got these dolls. And so my mom, I don't know, something happens. Maybe this happens with your parents, Peter, that when they get to a certain age, every time you go to the house, they've got to give you something to take away because they're cleaning the house out for when they die. It's like, bring this with you.
My
bring this.
Goodness. How
yeah, that's what, at least that's what my mom does.
My mom always tries to get junk out of the house.
So I brought them home, and I thought maybe we could display them in the house. Nancy's so creeped out by these dolls.
I don't blame her.
That she asked that I put them in the basement. So if you give a sec, I'll grab it for you. Maybe
when we come back,
segment.
You can show it because it's creepy. It really is creepy. It was Susan, George's fiance, that had all the creepy dolls.
Yeah.
That they were looking at him when he was in bed.
Oh, give me the. It's going to drive me crazy why I can't think of her name from Animal House. Oh, God. You know, you remember?
I do.
Give me the initials.
I'm not.
You guys are really. This entire segment was.
Gone off the rails.
Well, for 25 minutes, it was guessing Minnesota Twins retired numbers. And now guessing the actress from Animal House?
No, not
Bob
the
Manfred.
Actress.
Get with it, will you please? It's the
character.
She wasn't even a character. She wasn't even in it.
Okay, so someone who wasn't even in Animal House. Andrew, can you imagine if this was my segment? Let's just name Washington football players.
No, come
after
on.
That, let's talk about
the
movie.
People
Juice.
Were entertained by that.
But this back to back. If this was me, I'd be off. Michael would already call the whoever our boss is and have me fired.
I wouldn't know who to call.
Bang, bang!
You ready?
Here we go.
I'll tell you who it is.
It's hot dog!
Fawn Leibowitz. Yeah, we'll be back in Brock just Ward. A moment. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
I've got some concerning news, Peter.
Go ahead.
Zach Wilson and his girlfriend have quietly scrubbed each other from their Instagram accounts. Yeah. They've been seeing each other since they were teenagers, Don. Come on.
I didn't know them when they were teenagers.
Do you follow this stuff?
No, apparently not. Absolutely.
She was there. She was there on draft day.
Good for her.
I
didn't know it was a thing that we had to be concerned about.
We have to be concerned about everything on this show.
Should I?
I mean, it's our quarterback. It's a quarterback. Of ours and his relationship.
He was on with us just the other day.
He didn't even say anything about it.
I know. They still follow each other, though, but their images have been scrubbed.
You know, that's the mistake.
What do you mean?
The scrubbing is so dumb.
Why?
Because if you want to keep it quiet, don't right, go scrubbing. What's the
don't
what
go
you-
scrubbing my heart?
No. Scrubs.
I couldn't if I tried.
But seriously, what's the point of it?
It's dumb. It's not like you can just rewrite history.
Right. Like, I went through this. The idea of scrubbing, well, like, you're like, they've been together for years. Like, they regret their entire life? I mean, come on.
So you didn't scrub. You're not a scrubber.
No scrubs. No scrubs for me. I can't speak. I haven't gone through all of my ex's page. But if you really want to keep it quiet, you don't do things like that because it draws attention.
Exactly.
You just kind of keep it moving. That's the only way.
Who keeps track of this, though? Like, whose job is it to find out that they scrubbed?
Well, it can happen really quickly because if you look at a page, you just happen to look at their grid, and you're like, hey, what happened to that picture I saw a few days ago? Because he posted her a lot. And you look up, and you're like, oh, wait, she's not there. Wait, she's not there at all. And then you scrubbed. Just go click on that's yeah. it. Scrubbed.
I don't like
it. If I still don't care?
You're fine.
Right. You don't care about anything that's important. But this you have, like, important. A freaky little doll in your house that's going to scare you in the middle of the night, probably come up to your room, crack its ceramic head over your forehead and kill you. That's okay, though.
Are you serious?
Those things are ghoulish. I can't believe you have them in your house.
But it doesn't
bother
me.
Why don't you put them
in the
garage?
Because outside of Chucky, dolls have not attacked anybody.
But those are the dolls that would. Those are the dolls that will come alive and kill you. Those are the dolls that look like that. They look like Chucky's parents.
So I should be concerned about the dolls.
Yes, everybody's talking about
it on Twitter. And I should be concerned
about
who Zach Wilson is dating. I don't, and that's important.
Peter, please tell him.
No, don't tell me, because if you do tell me, it's not going to change. I disagree. I don't care. Complete passes, win games. What do you do? Just don't get in trouble. Who you're
but
dating?
These
who
are
you're
the things.
To? Why do
these,
I care?
These are the things that can affect him in the long run if he gets scrubbed. You take that between the lines then.
That's a problem. Then you're seeing ghosts, and you're seeing ghosts of girlfriends past mid-game.
And you might even
are
see ceramic dolls.
I don't think this is a thing. Honestly, I know it's a thing, but it shouldn't be.
Wow. I think it was Andrew who just typed this out to me. This is awful, Peter. What a broadside shot at you.
It was horrifying.
Peter doesn't scrub. He just goes with the far more normal option of digging a shallow grave.
Well, he did do that. Well,
he did do that.
But that was an album cover. That was an artistic statement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's always able to turn something positive. But what I'm saying is, and if I was a fan of Peter, I wouldn't care what made him dig the grave. I don't care. I'm a fan of Peter the person and what he does for a living. Who he dates, who he's married to, these are not my concerns if I'm a fan. Now, I'm friends with him, it's a different story. I'm not friends with Zach Wilson.
You know, but you should be. You know what is my biggest concern, Don? Why here at the end of the 4 o'clock hour has Peter for some reason broken out the Mr. T starter kit? What are you doing?
Just wanted to change it up for you again, Michael. And by the way, don't steal jokes and not give credit. I saw that on Twitter already.
Oh, okay. Because that's an original joke.
Mr. T starter set? If he had just said Mr. T, okay. But the fact that you took starter set, Don, I think that's a violation. You got to credit the joke.
Yeah. If you steal it right from something that was just tweeted.
I have used that line before. Sorry.
I've
just
never
because
heard
it was on Twitter. And also, I love when people put something on Twitter. Well, you stole it. Well, what'd you put it up there for?
Well, you just got to give credit.
I don't have to do anything.
Well, you kind of do.
No,
if somebody
tweets
at you a joke, then you give them credit.
No. If I go see a comedian and he tells a joke and then I tell the joke, that's stealing. They're putting it on a free, it's like a town hall. I'm sorry.
No, they're contributing to the show in hopes that their tweet is going to get read,
most
not
of the
stolen.
Time, most of the time, I give total credit. But in this case, Mr. T starter kit has been used over and over. It's not an original line.
Oh, really?
I'm
I didn't know that.
I'm not giving credit for that.
I didn't know that.
And the joke of this outfit is more a play on the famous Rock, the picture of the Rock where he's wearing the fanny pack with the turtleneck and the chains.
Why are you putting on different outfits every single segment? I don't get it. It's a radio show, not a one-hour television spectacular.
Well, as I was just saying to Michael K. yesterday when he was insulting my sweatshirt and then showed up today wearing his own sweatshirt. So I've decided to just keep things interesting today.
But I didn't tell you not to wear it. I said it was ugly. I can't comment on things.
It was hurtful, though, because I love that sweatshirt.
And you paid a lot of money for it. That's what's hurtful.
No, that's not the part about it.
You love that sweatshirt.
I do.
It's a total flex. Look, I can afford a Gucci sweatshirt.
So do you, I have a question. Well,
Peter didn't go to Gucci. I went
to
Ford.
Honestly, isn't everything that you wear
correct
in some way a flex?
Thank you. Michael, real quick, what brand car do you drive?
Are you serious?
I get a car from Mercedes-Benz or White
Plains. Mercedes-Benz of White Plains. So you didn't go with the Hyundai. You went with the Mercedes-Benz.
Right, if you wanted to get from door to door, you get a two-door spec. Instead, you get the fancy car. Why? Because
it's a flex.
You know, it's a flex.
No, I like the way the car drives.
And listen, you like the way people look at you in the car.
Nobody looks at me in that car.
Sure they do.
No,
you could get a beautiful Subaru and get to and fro.
When everything gets back to normal and we go out to dinner and we stumble out into the parking lot to go home, and I go into my Cadillac, Peter goes to his car, Michael goes up to a two-door spec, we're going to be like, Michael, is everything all right? Jody, throw you out?
I will say this, though, okay? Like, I admit I have a few – I really do not spend a lot of money. Actually, Natalie and I were just talking about this the other day. No matter how much my lifestyle changes, I keep it pretty simple.
Some would call it cheap.
Some would. I'm saving money. Hey.
For what?
Well,
there's no pockets and coffins.
No. I had to rebuild things. Going back to the scrubbing of earlier, I lost some funds over the last several years, and there was a rebuild. I don't know if you've ever written a check for half of your life's work.
Dear God.
No,
but I did.
That would be too big a check to write.
Yeah, well, I know. There aren't checks that big. You'd have to get one of those big, like, donation checks.
No, so, not like the Publisher's Clearinghouse is what you're thinking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I save. I don't spend on a lot of dumb things, but I admit there are some, you know, interests in clothing that are silly that I like, right? But I will say this, that even though I was disgusted with myself, twice recently I went to an outlet place where there was a Gucci store. And neither time I could get in because the line was hours long.
Wow.
We are a psychotic society.
Because everybody wants to put things on Instagram.
Like, literally hours to get into the store. I walked up. And it looked like a roller coaster, Don. I was like, wait, where does this thing begin and end? And then I just walked away. I'm like, who? You know what? And then I realized this is the problem. If you're meant to be able to afford Gucci, and I'm talking to myself here too, don't be me and show up to the outlet. If you really have the money, skip the line, walk into the store on Fifth Avenue,
right,
and overpay the way you're supposed to. But waiting online, I mean, 3 hours in the freezing cold to get into an outlet.
Those people would fall under the heading of not too bright.
It's not what you want.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We've got a lot of stuff to do. The Knicks have a new player. They're on a little bit of a run at home. The Nets with an impressive win. We're going to talk to Mike Breen in this hour. It just doesn't get better than this. It's Kayla Greco, Rosenberg, and you. We'll see what outfit share comes in the next segment. Right here on Yes, at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. When it's game time, it's Tully time, and Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey is best enjoyed with great friends during big games. So, for the Knicks' January 20th matchup against the Pelicans, 98.7 ESPN is giving away a grand prize VIP reservation for six with food and beverage at Slancha at 304 Bowery in Manhattan. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN, and you'll be one of 10 qualifiers to win a $50 Fanatics gift card and be in the running to score a night out on us. We'll be qualifying listeners throughout tomorrow before selecting our grand prize winner. It's all from your home for the hookup, 98.7 ESPN. Let's go back to the calls. What do you say? What do you say? Let's go to DJ in Staten Island. DJ.
What's up, guys? I hope you guys are okay. I haven't called in a very long time. You guys probably forgot about me, but hope
never
all
forget.
Three of you guys, your family, hope everybody's well, man.
Thank you,
Michael. Listen, I just want to say, regarding this whole Cam Reddish trade, I really like the fact that Leon Rose, Worldwide West, and obviously Scott Perry, all their trades are familiar. They do their business a month ahead of the deadline, and at the same time, they buy low. And this trade tells me that they're not focused clearly on just winning a championship right now. They're focused on competing right now with a lot of youth experiences that competition, which is okay. That means for the fan base, like, I know we're all panicking, but that's what Knicks fans do. But I have them in the same situation where they should be, competing for a play-in or a playoff spot and see how it goes while they're getting talent. And I just wanted to say, Michael, listen, I love you, Mike. You always say the right things about the Yankees, the Giants, the Jets, and the Knicks. But you often say that you want to hear from Leon Rose because obviously they never speak. Mm-hmm. I just want to say the whole reason why Atlanta is crumbling is because a month ago they went on radio in Atlanta, the GM, and he crumbled. He said, maybe I made the wrong decision bringing everybody back. A month later to today, and he trades Cam. So, like, as a fan, I don't want to hear that after I just got to the Eastern Conference Finals and I just put $400 million into that starting five in Atlanta. I'm just saying that, Mike.
I hear what you're saying, but that just because Leon Rose speaks doesn't mean he has to say something stupid like the Atlanta GM. I mean, just tell us the direction of the franchise. I think you owe it to the fans. I've never seen – I mean, coming off a win, it's not what I want to talk about today, but I've never seen a general manager of a team be a ghost. Never speak. Never have to speak. Ever. He spoke once to Mike Breen on the MSG Network. The guy has never answered questions from the media, which is, in essence, is questions from the fan base. Not once. It's like he's an exalted figure. He's like the wonderful Oz. He's behind a curtain. Nobody talks to him.
Now, is he technically the general manager or the president?
He's the president. Scott Perry is the general manager. He doesn't speak at all.
But at least we have spoken to him.
Well, that's when he was when Steve Mills was the president.
Right. It's obviously something he doesn't want to do. It can't be an edict from the Garden, because when Mills and Perry were in charge, we had them in studio. You know, the Rangers have always made their executives available to us, with the exception of Glenn Sather. Why? Glenn didn't want to do it. So I think that's the difference, is that he doesn't want to do it, and MSG doesn't push him to do it.
It's just so weird. It's like when we got him, we thought we were going to see this new, cool, like, front-facing guy who everyone likes. I thought that was kind of the deal.
Yeah, and he's obviously hip, and he gets it, and he is an agent for big-time players. I'm sure he can express himself. What's he hiding?
Well, he just probably doesn't want to do it.
Again, I'm sure that most GMs don't want to do it, but it's kind of like part of the job. Again, most people are listening and say, who cares with the media? It's not the media. He owes it to the fan base that pays his salary to tell him what's the direction of the team. Why'd you make this move? Did this one work out? What are your plans? But nothing. Nothing. I've never seen it in New York in all the years I've covered sports. I've never seen a GM just disappear and get away with it. The big I love how the New York media is fashioned as this, ravenous beast that never lets anything get. Nobody's called him on it. Where is he? The big tough New York media can't even get him out and get him to speak. It's amazing to me.
But I do feel like, Michael, we are trending in this direction where you're going to probably see this be the norm.
Maybe.
Because you saw what the Giants did yesterday. Like, what was the logic behind not allowing that press conference to air live? What was the logic?
Don't
it wasn't
know.
Even to drive people to the website. No, they just didn't want it to be live. Like, how is that possible? But it happened. You know, and we've seen it now because of with the pandemic, and I just wonder if it's going to start to trend that way, where we're not – there. Accessibility is going to be so much different, and this will become the norm more than guys being available.
James in North Babylon. James.
Hey, two things.
Yep.
First, with the Knicks, any trade should try to involve Randle. I would trade him now, because even if you bring somebody, the bigger superstar in, he's already jealous of RJ. So if he goes down to be the third option, he's probably not going to be in the right headspace to do that. So
not
I would try
point.
To trade him, even if you don't trade him, one-on-one for the big trade. I think that without him, the free agent, the big free agent, it would be more attractive with him not being there and RJ being the two, you know?
I don't know. That part worries me, though. I mean, so you're saying it's literally addition by subtraction? We're at that level with Randall? Because
if it has to be, I mean, I would try to trade him for Dame or whoever. But if that doesn't work, I just think that, you know, he's – do you think he would be okay being the third option if you bring in if by some chance –
Well, at this point, James, I don't know if you can anoint RJ as the second option at this point. And also, if they make a trade for a big time star, James, to be honest, they've got to give up Randall just to make the salaries work. Absolutely.
Well, I would do. But I keep hearing saying I wouldn't trade RJ. I wouldn't trade no. He would be the first guy I would want to trade.
And that might second be what they might be what they want to do. What's the second thing?
Okay. Don, this $100 that Don thinks he's owed, Michael, you're absolutely right.
Wow.
How many guesses do you get? How many guesses do you get, Don?
How many guesses did I get? I was asked to get to name five of the eight. I did. He didn't say that I had to go five for five.
Once you said Al Kaline, it's over.
Yeah. Oh, you're saying why?
Not only that, here's the main thing, Don. Here's the main thing. Do you know how bad Roethlisberger is going to clown you tomorrow? At like 5:15.
Well, what do I
get? How many chances did you get?
First of all, I'll be dead asleep.
Love the show.
Thank you, man.
Stop it. I did a great job. I'm owed $100.
No,
period.
But
James, you're wrong.
I got to tell you, the thing that you're overshooting here, Donnie, you set out K-line. That's an embarrassment. I can't give you the money.
Well, no, but you could say it's an embarrassment. I said going in that for some whatever reason, I always confuse Harmon Killebrew with Al Kaline. I don't know why I do, but I do.
Okay,
all right?
You do.
But you didn't say I had to go five for five. Peter, he asked, I'll give you $100. I'll Venmo you $100 if you can name five of the eight. I did. Now, this punishment, and again, too, I think I did a pretty good job. Like, I'm supposed to know everything about the Minnesota Twins, for God's sake.
Well, that was
an American League team. I did
a
fabulous job, but I should be embarrassed. So you can't give me anything. Fine. You desperately need me to be on this show. So continue to talk about what an embarrassment and a joke, and continue to value me as being a nobody, a loser. My college is nothing. I'm an ignoramus. But you know what? You desperately need me on this show, boy. You can't do anything about it. It's beyond the power to even eliminate me from the show. You don't want to do it because the show would sink like a stone.
Oh my
so
God!
So he gets to talk about.
Can you,
oh, but
can
I,
you believe
so
that this
it's
is
amazing?
Where,
no,
where
there's
this
no.
Just went.
You couldn't know. He'd be done. You would do it for like 6 months and be out. If I left, I'd give this show 6 months.
If you left, okay, the show would survive. But if you were let go, I would be gone the next day.
I appreciate that, but Peter, you see, I think I did a pretty good job. But I should be embarrassed. Like, he just can't give me anything. It's amazing.
Al Kaline's Mr. Tiger.
I understand. I told you, for whatever reason, Andrew knows what I'm talking about. Like, sometimes you just confuse names for whatever
I get it.
Reason.
It happens. Sure.
It happens. But I still bounce back, and I did exactly what you asked. Name five. I'll give you $100 if you can name five of the eight.
But that didn't mean that it was an open-ended thing that you could go 5 years to name it. Come on, man. You want the 100? I'll give you the 100 if you need it so badly.
I don't
badly.
Want the 100. I just want to say good job, buddy. Wait, could I ever get that? Like, hey, that, you know,
good
decent
job.
Job. Hey, yeah.
Well,
that good was a
job,
pretty good
buddy.
Question, Don.
Good
hey, thanks
job,
for that segment. You know,
I'm sorry.
Hey, Don, good job today.
You know
what?
Good
about
job.
You?
Good job.
Am I so good that just being great is just average? Am I at that level?
Listen, this is on
me. Or do you
me.
Just only feel good to devalue me?
I
embarrassed,
well.
Really.
This is on me. I'm an
half the audience doesn't even know the people I even mentioned.
I'm an embarrassment to the show. It's
oh, here
my
we
fault.
Go. And now you're gonna
No. I don't even know why I continue to do this. You're right. And if I left, the show would be fine. Absolutely fine. It would just be great. You're right. You're great.
Do you see what he did here?
So,
I will not devalue these men.
By the way, you just pulled like an Olivia Soprano. You just turned the whole thing around.
Well, what do you want me to do? I mean, he went down a road that had no business being gone down.
Oh, first of all, I was kidding. And you aggravate me. I should be embarrassed. So something I'm actually pretty proud that I did. Well, usually when Michael throws out, though, I'll give you $100, you can't even name one of them.
Right.
And I did the job, Peter. But instead of feeling good about myself, I've got to walk away from the segment feeling embarrassed.
Let's let's break now. We'll talk to Mike Breen.
Yeah,
it is sad. He just, you know what? He made the show uncomfortable, Peter. That's what he did.
Maybe we should
That's
ask.
That's what he
Mike
does all the time.
This.
He does. He made the show uncomfortable.
I'm not uncomfortable.
I am. Mike Breen will be too. I know how Mike is. Next
That's
on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Good.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.